We didn't get very far. Touch your neighbor.
We didn't get very far. Say it with me. Somebody say it. We didn't get very far.
Let love be without dissimulation. That can't be overemphasized enough. Huh?
You're about there, I think.
Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now that sounds like a normal thing to do. We don't want to be around evil and cleave to that which is good. But let's see if we can figure out what he's talking about, because it's pretty wild. The word for evil there, first of all, abhor is to just to detest, to have horror of, the horror of, so that you would quickly move away from it. If it was some kind of thing in a scary movie, you'd run from it. You wouldn't go down the stairs. Anyway, so let's go to, and it's porneos, it's the evil. Let's go to Matthew 7.
Can I put a little flesh on that for you?
Just a minute. You put it some.
I found myself putting time in the equation last night. It was real interesting. You know, you don't see that quite so clearly so often. Last night, there was something going on in my head. I don't even know the details, but in the process of the thought, I thought, wait a minute. I'm saying that it's okay that we can wait till tomorrow to take care of this. It was like, it was a classic. And that's that when you talk about abhorring evil, if you see that right, then you go, shit, that's about as evil as you can get. So don't do that.
Right. When you know, wide is the path that leads to destruction. Narrow, the whole process, another way of looking at what sanctification is you start out, you may have one or two things that are evil that you abhor, but as you go, as the revelation of God just takes you over, and you find out there's only one thing good, right? So that, but again, it's like, you remember, it depends on what's in the salt shaker. If you have you in the temple, then everything is evil. If you fully understand and have emptied you from the temple, you, then everything is good. So that it's all based on the renewal of your mind. That's why the renewal of your mind is so critical. But anyway, we're talking about evil. Abhor that which is evil, porneos. So porneos. So Matthew 7. Verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? You then, being evil, you abhor that which is evil. The word here is porneos, the same as evil in Romans 12. And this is the red words, if you're that bent. Jesus is calling you evil, porneos. And you are evil because you are of the evil one. A little bit of understanding? There's no good thing that dwelleth in you except Jesus Christ. And he doesn't need your help. He can't use your help. And the idea of finding out what is evil is I pray you quickly, you do it quickly, because you cannot continue to give breath to yourself, to give importance to in any way, because that way you're worshiping the evil one. There must be total and 100% abandonment of self. Otherwise, you won't abhor that which is evil. And you can't do two things at once. You can't say you worship God and then minister to yourself. It can't be done. You can't do it sometimes. It has to be a line of demarcation where you have abandoned everything about you. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought what you shall eat. Take no thought what you shall wear. Take no thought, no thought, no thought. Because the minute you take thought, then you are not abhorring that which is evil, and you're not cleaving to that which is good, which is the next sentence. But you are, the whole, it can't be, it. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians.
Seems like there's something in here too about the cleaving.
We're not at the cleaving yet. We'll get to cleaving in a minute.
My mind is racing.
Second best.
Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me give you an example of something. A while back, Joe Bob wrote the exegete about Matthew 23:15. You'll travel over sea and land to make one convert, and when he is made, you'll make him twice the child of hell that you are. So I had a discussion with somebody, and I won't mention his name, but I sent him that article. So I get an email this morning, and he's convinced that that was only talking about the Jews. That was only talking about those Jews, those evil Jews, and it had nothing to do with him or modern Christianity. And it struck me how much, and I started remembering back all of the preachments I've heard about different things. And it's like, it's again, there's a belief system that there's a different God for the Old Testament and a different, and then now we have a new nice God. And all of these words about the warnings and exhortations about Jesus saying, you shall travel over sea and land and make one convert. He was just talking to those bad Jews. And it just blew me away. I finally understood why I can never get through to this guy. Because that's his core program. That there's this old God and he was mean and he beat people up and killed them. But now we got this new God that loves everybody and it's sloppy agape all over the place.
Sloppy agape.
And yet, I can't tell you how many people I know that believe that. They don't say it that way. But you point out a scripture like that one, you travel over the sea and land and make one convert, and when he is made, you'll make him twice the child of hell that you are. That certainly doesn't apply to their evangelistic efforts. It seems like I really think sometimes that I'm from another planet. I know some of you think the same thing, but I don't understand how these people's minds work. I listen to Copeland or Eddie Long or any of these people. I can't understand how they can possibly... I don't know about all of them, but I know in many cases they really believe this crap about gain is godliness and God wants you to be rich and prosperous so you can spread the gospel. I'll tell you what we're going to study now, you know, I've even said this particular scripture what we're about to study. Say, oh yeah, I understand that. 2 seconds later, no, they don't. They don't understand anything.
Didn't you used to always talk about the ignore scriptures? Put them on our ignore list.
But listen to this next one. 2 Thessalonians 2, because it's about this evil. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now that sounds hopeful. Wow, that's big. But then listen to the rest of this. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that's apostasy is the word for falling away. The falling away has to happen on such a massive scale that it is almost universal, according if you believe the scriptures. There has to be this total and complete falling away. And that man of sin, the son of perdition, be revealed. So we have charts, and we have everybody saying that man of sin, that son of perdition, was first Nero, and then it was Hitler, and then it was Kissinger, and now there's a bunch probably trying to figure out it's Obama. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. The end can't come until the man of sin be revealed. That's right. Isn't that what it says? Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, if you don't understand that that's you, you are the man of sin, you are the one that opposes and exalteth himself against all that is called God, but you do it because you're showing yourself you're as God. You judge for yourself good and evil. So if you are the man of sin, be revealed. Every man's mind is the enemy of God. Now, that's why what it means when it says abhor evil, because anything the evil one touches or gives, anything that anybody of the evil one gives breath to is evil. A bad tree can't bear fruit. He cannot bear fruit. Anybody? If you really understand that you, your mind, is the evil one, is this 666, then how can you possibly give any breath to what you think? Or give any breath to what anybody else thinks or what you feel? Oh.
Self-seeking, and then you read this, it can't get any higher than that. That's the ultimate in self-realization.
The man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. All the world was wandering after the beast. Always has. All the woes in the scriptures are for those that are who are inhabiting the earth. That's why we do not inhabit the earth. We are our abode, our resting place, our seat is on the mercy seat, out of this time and space. We are only walking through this veil of tears, or the shadow of valley of the shadow of death, to see if there to see if there's anything in the universe that can pull you off the mercy seat. Apparently, there's quite a number of things. Oh, I don't feel well. Oh, I got a boo boo. Oh, somebody isn't treating me right. Oh, this attorney's a bad guy. Oh, things aren't going the way I want them to. Oh, poor you. Repent. Turn and leave the evil one behind. Can you see why Jesus said? They'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. You'll be hated of all men. Okay. Back to Romans 12. I'm waiting for somebody to tell me. This is what I think about that.
I know you are.
Gary's having a discussion with this brilliant guy right now. I was speaking facetiously, of course.
Of course.
Would you like to share your discussion, Mr. Buckner?
Somebody go pull up a boy's finger.
Anyway, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Cleave is K-O-L-L-A-O. It's a word that means, like if I were making concrete and I mixed some stones with the cement, then the end result of the stone within that cement is cleaving. You cleave to the point where there's no differentiation, and the only one that's good is the Father. Call no man good on earth. Call no other thing good on earth. Do the good work. The good work is believe on him who has sent. So that cleaving is so intermingled, so mixed with, that there's nothing left, and there's no identity for the one that is cleaving. It's the same mystery that in human birth, when a sperm cell joins the egg, then the egg is cleaving, but the sperm cell has lost its identity. And both the egg and the sperm cell are a new thing. Well, that's what being born again means. That's what cleaving to the good means. It means never losing that identity of a new creation. That doesn't have anything to do with entitlement. In fact, it's the opposite of the entitlement. Yeah.
Like you can't drink wine and say, oh, I tasted that grape again.
Yeah. That's why for in the Feast of Tabernacles, for 7 days, remember they poured both wine and water into the altar. But on the eighth day celebration, there's only wine. The human race is the water, and the wine is the bride. And for as long as time exists, the 7 days of linear time, you're pouring both. But on the eighth day, which is the day with it's mistakenly identified as the first day of the week, it's the eighth day, which is this is the day the Lord hath made. And for you and I, there are no other days. This is the day. We are in the eighth day. There is only the wine. There's no more room for the water. In fact, the water can't even, there's no existence of the water. If you believe there's a room for the water in this equation, then you've missed the whole point. If you think you can be born again and still retain your identity, you're a fool. Let love be without dissimulation, without anything learned, without any script of how to do it. Abhor that which is evil. Abhor everything from the evil one. And cleave to that which is good. Never, and you can't forget it. People say, oh, I forgot. No, you can't forget it. I promise you, anytime you are excusing time, anytime you are excusing thoughts about yourself, anytime you are in any way seeking to save your life, then you're off the mercy seat. Time you're trying to protect yourself. Carrie, you've been doing it for the last 15 minutes.
Everything just is.
I've been waiting for 35 years for that. Anybody else? How can you possibly neglect so great a salvation?
I'm just thinking the love is mixed in. That's the basis for everything, and that's the way love is expressed is when you do what you're just talking about.
Amen.
That's the beginning point of everything.
Faith which worketh by love. And love which worketh by faith. What?
Oh, I don't know.
Does it make any sense? To you?
I carry around this drama that's... I know I carry it to protect myself. It's like, well, someday it'll be resolved.
You've taken over the Gary mantle, have you?
It's from sitting at this table.
It is true. This table is
someday it'll
table.
Be resolved.
How about today?
It is called Wade.
The drama of Wade?
Wade's world.
They've been waiting. Wait upon the Lord.
That was a Jeffism, and it was really bad.
Most people just don't let it go.
There's only one solution. Father, forgive me.
There's only one solution. Therapy.
I'm, I... eHarmony.com. Take it, big guy. I got some more rollover minutes.
Yeah. Hey, who wants to take me down to Mustang?
I don't. Wait. What's up?